Okay, Rabbi Yisai, Simon Dalad last Seif, Chov Gimel, Lo Yisiknu Netilas Yudayim, Lele Kiyah Shema Vele Tefillah. In terms of Netilas Yudayim, it's only for Kiyah Shema and Tefillah. Aber Bochus, Shachas Yochel Vach Kodim Netilah, you can recite Bochus before washing hands. We've spoken about this. That, but yeah, but if necessary, one can say the Bochus before Netilas Yudayim. Elim Kenu Yoshna Mitosa Orum, Shoz Osu Las Kiyah Shema, Hashem Atshina Ke Oysam. We've spoken about that as well. Seif Chov Gimel tells us that if a person is in bed undressed, then he wouldn't be. He needs to wash his hands before reciting brachas. We've spoken about that because of the mekomis hamechusim. I did see two discussion in the poskim before we proceed with Simon Hay, which I haven't mentioned yet. One was about touching two interesting shailas. I want to just before we proceed to Simon Hay. One shaila is the shaila of babies, touching or young children, which tend to have different dress codes. Is that the word? Babies. Do you need to wash your hands after touching your baby or your toddler that has areas, obviously, of his body that as an adult would be normally covered, but as a child of that age is not covered? Would that be a problem at all?
You mean when you change his nappy?
Yeah. Okay. Changing nappy is probably it's hygiene. You'd have to wash your hands because of that. But if you just touch him, I don't know, parts of the body that young children are not. You know what, the Chazon Ish even speaks about slightly older children, and have, like we could even talk about easily a 6-8-year-old child who has short trousers. Would that be requirement to touch, if you touch, would you need Mokum Zeh? Right, very good. So Lemaisa, the poskim can say it's absolutely fine. It's absolutely fine. All the halachas of Mekomis HaMechusim is based on the social norm I've discussed, as we have discussed. It's all about the place, the time, and the kind of people, if that's the right expression, that you're talking about. So if young children have different, they wear different things, the shorter sleeves, shorter trousers, or babies have completely different, obviously, you know, that it's not really a makom mechusse by them, because it's normal for a child to be much more undressed than not. Therefore, there's no requirement to wash your hands if it won't touch that kind of area, because it's normal, it's the norm for children of that particular age to walk around like that, to be dressed like that. So if you've got, a very young toddler started walking and they often have, you know, they're completely, you know, their legs and their thing is completely uncomfortable, you don't need to wash your hands, unless obviously got dirty. Right, that's the question of the, that's with regards to young children. The other question, which is a very interesting question, which is a really fascinating discussion, is regarding putting on tefillin. What's the question?
When you put tefillin of the oil, you can touch it there.
Yeah, and you can even ask even more than that. But yes, I'm going there, but even more than that.
The elbow,
of course, touching. Inevitably, when you put in your tefillin shaliyah, you're going to be touching an area which will be considered a makom mechusse. It is impossible. Pardon? Oh, 1 second. You're right, but hold on a sec. Inevitably, when you're putting on your tefillin, it's nearly impossible. I've tried it many times. It's impossible. I think it's nearly impossible, completely impossible, to put on your tefillin without touching your skin. Now, by doing that, surely you should be obligated, because it's a makom mechusse, it's a covered part of your body. This part of here, all the way high up there, is considered the makom mechusse. Therefore, based on what we've learned so far, you should be obligated to wash your hands after putting on tefillin. Ever seen anybody doing it?
No.
Ever seen anybody doing it? Right. So the answer is yes, there are some who do it. There is a minority. There are some people who are very makpid and machmen, they will wash their hands. So there is a minority of it, but that's clearly not the norm, and it's not that accepted halacha. But you will find people, and that's where they're coming from. And once you're aware of it, you'll see far more people than you see people doing it. But it's not the norm.
When they wash their hands by the chazan, they go like a small pot with the water.
Ah.
And then they put the
finger. They put the finger, right. Yeah, because the reality is you don't really need a...
I think so many people touch the water, so water it's not. Must be
dirty. It's a good point. Because the reality is, since it's about cleanliness, it's not, you don't really need a three times, you don't need a keli, it's just about cleaning. It's about cleanliness. So if you wash your hands with any water, it would be fine. Lemaister Rabbi is what? No, that you can't, because you don't have to be mafsik between, you don't have to interrupt between tefillin shliyat and tefillin shlorosh. So you have to do it after tefillin shlorosh, after all that, before you do the.
It doesn't help them if they're so concerned about the touching machmir chutzah, but then davening with that, it doesn't make sense.
I don't.
They're so concerned to wash
their hands. Oh, I see. How can they make the bracha on a tefillin shlorosh? I see. I don't know. Yeah. Here, it's a good point. I don't know. What's the answer? Why are we not generally makbid? Why are we not washing out? The question is a very good question. Why don't we? Pardon? So if you do a mitzvah, I'm just challenging you. The Maaser, the Upper Reb Shlomo Zalman says that what you're saying. Yeah, so I'm saying, but I'm just challenging. What if you do a mitzvah? What other mitzvah could you do by getting by mukum mechusse? What's another example? You have to, let's say a doctor, yeah? Bismillah. Let's say a doctor, Bismillah, yeah? Bismillah is not a good, but the doctor, yeah? A doctor who touches, he's doing a mitzvah, you know, he's touching uncovered parts of the body, does he need to wash his hands afterwards? The answer is 100%, he does. So he's doing a mitzvah. So Bismillah is actually, you're right, because Bismillah would be a proof. Exactly. So that would be, yeah, that's where you're coming from, yeah. So the Maaser Rabbi said, the easy answer is, what most poskim accept is that one doesn't need to wash hands because of what Rabbi Frankel pointed out. That it's not a mokum mechusse, that time, that place, for this purpose. Because you got to uncover your sleeve by putting on tefillin. So you can't call it a mokum mechusse. It's not a covered part of the body because everybody has to uncover it. Therefore, it's not considered a covered part of your body because you need to uncover it for the purpose of putting on tefillin. Therefore, you don't need to wash your hands.
At that time or the whole time?
Right. Good question. Very good question. A very, very good question. I don't know. It seems from those poskim that it's for that particular. It sounds like. Okay, I'm not so. I don't fully understand. Pardon? Yeah. Correct. The mice, so it's not so straightforward because you could, you know, how can something...
It must be for that time. If you use the time as a Christmas night, it's only for that time.
Yeah. Okay, it is more to be said about this. And it's, if anybody has got a son who is, Bar Mitzvah Rosh, this is a perfect topic, by the way. It's a perfect topic. So, yeah, it's a good question and it's a good answer. So that's a good... Yeah, go for it. So that's good. Rabbi Yisai, we have completed hereby the halachas of Netilas Yadayim Shel Shachris. We're moving on with Kavonas HaBrochas. Look at that. The halachas of the Kavona of the Brochas. What is this all about? Sif Aleph. Yechavim BeBrochas Peish HaMilis. Halacha tells us you've got to have Kavona when you... Say any bracha, you need to have kind of kavana intention when you're reciting a bracha. Kshiyaskir Hashem, when you say the word of Hashem, you perish ki bekiyos be'anus. The intention should be, the kavana should be, what's that odin akoil? The master of everything, v'chavim v'ksivosoi, and when you write it, be'yud kei, v'avkei, shehoyo, hoive v'yeh. When a person writing, he should have intention, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, the intention should be Shehoya, Kodesh Baruch was, Hoive is, Vye will be. Uvaskir Elohim, when a person mentions the name of Elohim, Yichaven Shutakev, he is the strong, Balei Choyles, able to do anything, or Omni, what's called Omni? Omnipotent, bale choyles uvala koychois, and omni power, yeah, exactly, all the powers and koichs of this world, kulam, all of them. These are the, so that's really the intention that you should have. So again, Rabbi Yisrael, when a person says Elohim, the kavon of Elohim is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is takiv balei choyles, it's got all the koichs, all the powers in this world, for koichs kulam, that's Elohim. Takiv by choyles, that's the word Elohim, that's the intention. When a person says Hashem, then it's the Adoin HaKoil, the master of everything. Hashem is Adoin HaKoil, and Elohim is Takif Balachoylitz Balakoyches Kulam. That's really what we should have in mind when we recite a bracha. There are some Sidurim, I think it's brilliant, some Sidurim will help, and they have this in brackets, especially Edot HaMizrach, Sidurim very often have it, and it's brilliant, it's really, really good. It helps to have the Kavona when it actually has this in the name of Hashem, or right next to it, it says that, and that helps to have the kavana when one recites it. Peres im shivkotn alav v'mishnah bura. Peres amelo is k'mo she'omu chazal shelo yizrok habracha mepiv. Don't throw the bracha from your mouth. Elo rather yichavein. You should have intention based amira v'yevorich benachas. Brachas should be recited benachas slowly. Look at this beautiful quotation over here. These are the words. Look at this beautiful wording of the Sefer Chassidim. Sefer Chassidim, Siman Mevav. When a person washes his hands, oy, or when he makes a bracha on peiros, on the fruit of any food, oy, or ala mitzvahs, on the mitzvahs hashkurois befikol adam. When a person when he sets a bracha on the mitzvahs, or on food, or on anything, hashkuris v'shakom v'fikol adam, yichaven liboy l'shem boiroi, he should have in mind, l'shem boiroi shehip l'chazdo imoy, he should have an immense and an intense feeling of how fortunate we are, how great, how kind HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, being kindness, so kind to us. V'nosan is our peiros, he's given us this fruit, or this food, or alechem. Lehenos me v'tzivol ha-mitzvois. So we should feel, a bracha should be an expression of gratitude, how kind HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to have given this mitzvah, or this food. V'tzivol ha-mitzvois. V'leyasik kodom ha-oyse dova keminek. Person shouldn't recite brachas, just... automatic, yeah, it shouldn't be like press button automatic. Without thinking about it, it's a poshuk in Yeshaya, which is very, very scary. It's talking about Yeshaya Novi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't need your mitzvahs if you don't do it with intention, if you don't with heart. Mitzvah, yeah. So it's very scary because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Bisfosav kibduni, with your lips, you have honored me, the liboy, but your heart, the rochak min, is distance yourself." This is what the Sefer Chassidim quotes by a person who recites the bracha. We're not talking about somebody who doesn't say the bracha. That's a different story altogether. We're talking about somebody who does say the bracha. He says the correct bracha at the right time, but he says it without heart, without intention. And on that it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in your heart, you're not honoring me, I don't kind of need that. Very, very scary, because we recite every day, 100 mitzvahs, 100 brachas, generally, more or less, and we do that 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, and it's very hard to keep on having kavanah without brachas. It's really, 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 really hard. And that's what people call the FFBitis. The first time a person makes a bracha, he does it properly, but eventually he's like that thing, which is very hard to keep vibrant and kavanadic brachas. It's really, really hard, but that's what a person is really meant to do. What the Mishnah Berurah points in Sifkot and Beis and is the that person should be very careful by the pronunciation. He says, he speaks about Adoi. So I want to point this out because Mishnah Berurah says in it. He said a person should always emphasize the Oi. When one says Adoi, I don't want to say the name of Hashem now, but you should always say, make sure to the Cholim of Adoi, and then after this finish off. Because sometimes you'll notice people say they don't really say this cholim properly.
They say
adao. Some
adao
is fine.
Why is that fine?
Adao, if that's the person's nusach, that's fine as well. As opposed to just making a comment, just the oh. A person has to make sure that however he normally does the cholim sound, the oi, that's he should make the adoi like this properly. So if a person says adao, that's fine. Ado is fine, whatever it is. But he has to make as opposed to just the ado, because that, yeah. Adi, yeah, that's also quite common, yeah. It's a mistake. Yeah. So a person has to ensure to emphasize whatever sound you'd normally do after the dalet, whichever way you pronounce it, that cholim, that you should do properly and thoroughly. And often you'll notice, once you're aware of it, you'll notice that some people swallow it up and they don't do it properly, and that is wrong, because that won't be the name of Hashem. And it's important to emphasize that and to stress that. Now there is more to be said, but I'm conscious of the time, so I'm just going to summarize briefly what we have learned. We spoke of the importance of the Tilas Yudaim, also last year, Shem Achinaki Oysam. We spoke of Peresh Amelis, the name of Adonus. We spoke about the name of Elohim, which is Takif Balecholis Kulam, and right. And having said this, I wish you.